Great. Welcome back for our third and last part of this podcast with Coach Andrew. Now we will really go a bit more into depth and talk a little bit about what more he has to offer. If you have been following him online, as we said in the last part, you've probably already seen a little bit about it. It's basically built on what we talked about in the second part from the book about building better sets, but getting the opportunity to work one-on-one with Coach Andrew. And that's what I did myself these last weeks. And now we will just kind of go through what the offering entails, and Coach Andrew will take over a little bit and ask me a little bit questions. I will try to answer them for you so you can figure out if that is something that you would like to do as well to help you improve your coaching and keep evolve to become a better coach. But basically, as if you haven't heard the first and the second episode, part of this podcast, it is about improving skills for swimming. So helping you as a coach better teach those skills to your athletes. And Andrew has an extensive background in both swim coaching and coaching training people in general. And if you tuned in to the last episode, you also heard that he must have spent a lot of hours watching swimmers on the internet and reading about all this stuff. So there's a big, big, big backpack with a lot of things to share, a lot of experience to share. And now, with him no longer involved in full-time coaching with a collegiate program, and after writing this book, he is actually coaching coaches. And helping them get better. So, yeah, Andrew, why don't you take over and we talk about a little bit what we did those past couple of weeks?
Yeah, sure. So the main idea with it is, with anything, having an idea is and understanding, something conceptually and then being able to apply something practically aren't always the same thing. And even if you understand what to do, kind of like theoretically, sometimes and you're able to figure out the practical side, but it takes, more time, effort, and energy than you'd rather spend. And so, it's kind of about providing coaches with the opportunity to learn how to practically apply some of these ideas, and not only just identify the skills that they want to develop, but how do you actually develop those skills in terms of like what type of activities are going to be really effective? How do you actually design workouts that are going to be most effective at helping swimmers learn those skills? How do those how do you make adjustments for different swimmers? Because most coaches are dealing with groups that are not, not everyone's at the same ability level, and especially in club coaching, you may have different ages within, one practice session, and you certainly are going to have different ability levels. So how do you make those adjustments? And then we talked about a little bit in the last podcast, but things need to change over time. And so how do you plan either a training week to make sure that you get everything done, but also kind of how do you think about a training year so that what you're doing at the beginning of the season progresses over the course of the season. So by the end of the year, they're actually able to execute those skills that you're trying to develop in races. Because, all of this work, all this effort, all this focus, if swimmers don't actually change how they swim when they race, it's kind of pointless. And so we got to take all those different steps to help swimmers make that jump. And the whole purpose here is to show you the process of how you can do that, provide you with the tools, and really focusing on a couple important skills that are that you think are valuable. And then once you understand the basic process of it, it becomes a lot easier to replicate with any skill that you want to develop.
Yeah, and I can maybe add to this. The first time I read your book, I think I was more kind of browsing, and I did this kind of like fast reading where, I think it was too fast. I didn't get the whole thing, but I kind of noticed, okay, I think this is something that I do. But it's like I also said in previous podcasts, it sounds like this really simple concept, and then I noticed, okay, this is like I'm here and this is way here.
Right.
When you go to the extent of it, and I'm also the kind of person I started to reread the book, taking more times, working more on understanding and connecting the dots, right? But for myself, what we started doing is really like talking these things through, Me sitting down and thinking about it, and a little disclaimer for people, I wasn't in a full-time coaching role, so I didn't have like really a group or a team to go and do all the application about things we talked, but I was also trying to get some better fitness myself. So I jumped in the pool a bit myself and tried those things myself, which was fun. And I did get to try some of it with a couple athletes, but I guess it was a bit of a more complicated situation where I didn't see them day to day and I could really have this plan. But it really helped me to sit down, talk this through with you, really work on the examples and exactly how you said, right? Figure out how we can improve what I already know and how I do it and how I can do this more efficient and potentially help the athletes do it better.
Yeah, and I think that's a key point, is that you're trying to figure out how you can take what you've already done or you already do and just build upon that to get the outcomes that you're looking for. And when you can accomplish that, it's going to be a lot easier to do that as opposed to just kind of, starting over with something. And I think the other thing too is sometimes there can be issues that sh show up that you maybe in reading something, you can interpret anything you want, but that doesn't always necessarily mean that was the intended interpretation. And so it's helpful to get clarity about what some of those things mean. And it's even easier to see, though, that when you start talking about practical examples, because that's how you can relate it to your experience and what you know to be effective, as opposed to just thinking in kind of abstract terms. And so when you actually get into specific skills, specific swimmers, specific sets, it becomes a lot easier to see how a general idea becomes a specific and a practical example.
Yeah, so us working together, right, on getting this all kind of connecting the dots, putting stuff together, working on the things that I identified that I was curious about to learn about this. It was a 6-week process, so maybe you can take us through each week and what we talked about, and then we can maybe go through some examples and yeah. So people can figure out a bit what they eventually will get if they decide to engage with you as well, right?
So the starting point, that first week, and the starting point of regardless how you think about it, is you have to identify what skills are important and what those skills actually are. And so when we sat down, that was the first thing that we did, was kind of understand, what are swimmers trying to accomplish when they want to go fast, and what does that look like in terms of a specific skill. And so what was your experience kind of going through that and trying to get clarity about what you actually wanted to improve?
Well, no, I think like we notice is I felt like I've been doing quite a lot of it, but not with that same intention, right? Not like with maybe that clear goal or that clear intention of improving that skill and really making it evolve inside my planning. It's not something that I set strict down or I wrote down and maybe made enough time for it. So just the way what we identified for myself, because I was really curious about it. I mean, we all know it, and we swim a lot of short course over here in Europe. You have to be better at the fifth stroke, at being underwater. And I just felt for myself that that's something where I'm not really good at teaching, at coaching it, and I myself wasn't very good at it, so it was something where I was curious to get about it. And then the other thing, I think we identified a little bit together that one of the easier thing is to kind of just work on stroke, right? And by that I mean if we take freestyle on stroke count, stroke length, and how to work with this, and there's a very easy way to get started with that. So I think that was really good, just to identify these things and really have it down and have those one or two things, and not okay, I need to be better in this and this and this, and this is kind of how sometimes you how it gets, right? You have all these things that you want to get better at, and you kind of get lost, and then you don't do any of it. So I think it just helped me to really narrow things down, and I as you said, identify the things that are important, and that could be for how we did it, right? For we how we break up the season. What is the most important part when we start out?
Cool. And so, you know, once you identify what you want to improve, that kind of, you know, informs a lot of the decision making going forward. And so the next big step is, you know, say you identify a certain skill. Well, how do you actually, you know, develop that skill? And like we talked about earlier, we have that training problem, you know, whether you can, you know, you got to be able to train, and you have a lot of swimmers. And so you have to pick things that as much as possible, you do a lot of the teaching for you. And so the goal, the next step is to kind of figure out what can I have them do that gives them a much better chance of figuring out these skills, while being able to do, you know, do them in the context of a solid training set, and that don't require you or me as a coach to constantly be, you know, you know, cueing or providing feedback. So what was your experience with that?
It was really interesting because again, I did some of it, but I think again not with that intent, so it didn't end up doing this. I did some of these things more because it broke the monotony sometimes of practices, right? It was something fun, it was something different, but it was not the intention. Okay, this needs to be really high quality. We want to learn here something that really is going to help us improve. And in the case of the underwater kicking, then also, I guess now in retrospective, when I look back on stuff, you could argue that maybe we haven't done enough of the actual underwater kicking, you know, because we spend a lot of time swimming freestyle or other strokes or whatever we do in our practices, but maybe not enough really on the kicking. And this is not about like doing a 2,000 meter underwater kicking set, right? It's not that. It's just dedicating time to do this better. And then also, you know, the process of how do you get there, right? Where it rise to this butterfly kicking, right? You may not have to do the underwater kicking all the time, especially in the beginning, because you really also have to learn the mechanics of the kicking, where you can do this in doing vertical kicking, kicking against the wall, kicking with resistance, where you don't even go underwater yet. And as I said, you know, in some way or capacity, I have probably done this, and then I haven't really done it because I haven't used it to make them better, right? And this was really interesting because it's just, as you said, exploring, okay, what's there? What can I do? And then because we were talking a little bit also about the group aspect, right? It was not like I was coaching one-to-one. If when I was in my prior coaching role, I was in a group where I had 20 athletes in the water, right? That was examples that we were trying to look at from previous practices that I did. So that really helped me to figure out, okay, if I ever get back into these situations, this is how you can manage this as well a little bit.
Right. And one thing that resonated with me both in the last two times you spoke was that it shouldn't be things that are totally unfamiliar to you. You know, you're going to use things that are already, you know, you're aware of for the most part. You just might not be using as strategically or as systematically. And like, and that's a big part of this is which strategies have you already been using, but not really in a really focused, purposeful way. And that's where you can have a much bigger impact is by using some of the things that you know, you're already aware of, but you're using them for a very specific purpose. And so that's something that really stuck with me. It's not that necessarily you're doing things totally different. It's maybe you're doing some of the things that you already started doing, but doing them with more focus and more purpose. So the next big skill is, you know, trying to write sets that actually incorporate these ideas and make it more likely that what swimmers practice and what they do is going to show up in races. And so what was your experience there?
I thought before we went to the last step that we will come to with the planning and stuff, that this was the most complicated thing about it, you know, because it's not that easy, or that was my experience, to go looking at something isolated and then actually integrate it in a full practice, right? It's easy to do just some vertical kicking and try to do them well. And make this like a 10-minute thing, but that is not going to be your practice, right? There is more to it. And then there are maybe other goals. Like we also discussed, you know, I was like, okay, I never was a coach that was doing maybe high volume, whatever that means to anybody, right? But then it was like, okay, if I spend 20 minutes on this, where I'm not moving, in moving, I'm meaning covering any volume, right? How do I still get what I want in the training? Where that was really nice to hear you explain and show how, there is a physical part to all these things as well. And you can actually combine these things in sets and how to do this, right? And then what I found really interesting, and I guess that's a little bit part of the next step also is, but how do you actually evolve these things and how do you maybe adapt it to what it also says from the book, right? Because every swimmer is going to be different and not everybody is going to progressing at the same rate. And all these things, as I said a little bit in a previous episode, it's not about doing 4:25s and giving the kids that can make the interval just 10 seconds rest. It's a little bit more complex than that. And it requires a lot more preparation ahead of you stepping on a deck so that you actually then can do the coaching and really do this well, right? And I think that was really, really like the main takeaway for me and learning there.
Right. Yeah. And that's one of the things is if you take a little bit more time to plan your workouts, you end up in a situation where you're not, the time on the deck is going to be a lot more effective and you're not spending all your time trying to run around and make these adjustments because you've already kind of thought them through. And that kind of brings us to the next piece we talked about. It's, you're going to have a group that's going to have different ability levels and different skill levels. And so how do you think about making sure that, whatever, so let's say we're working on underwater kicking and we're working on a certain skill. If we just give everybody the same thing, maybe a third of them, it's too easy. A third of them, it's too hard. A third of them, it's just right. Or, you can take the approach where you just make it challenging for the best swimmers. And then everyone else, it's just really hard. Or you make it, you make it easy. You make it appropriate for the easiest or the least skilled swimmers. And then it's easy for everyone else. And so the next thing is really figuring out, how do you make those adjustments? And I know that, you would come up with a strategy that you thought would work pretty well was in terms of like having the different groups within a set. So tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I think, I was mostly, when I was thinking about adapting stuff, right? It was more like that, I guess what you would call that traditional classical way of doing it. It's just kind of like, if I had group, it was maybe event or stroke related and or then ability that just meant okay, instead of going 130 you go 140, and it was just plain swimming where in the case of trying to work on the underwater kicking, right, it could be okay, maybe when we start to go and do the kicking underwater, some kicks they will be able to take three kicks off every wall, and that will be challenging enough if we go 6 100s on 130 for them to make the interval and get the three kicks and really do this still with the time maybe that I would like to swim them depending on what the intent of the set is, right? And some other kids may be able to go 4, 5, or 6 already. And you can basically let them know, look, these are the three kind of levels or options that we have. You figure out what you can do, but this is the goal of the set. So you need to choose the appropriate challenge for yourself. And I think these things are really just kind of, okay, you can even within, if you have groups, I guess, if you have mid-distance swimmers, sprinters, and they do something separate, even within those groups, you can challenge the different athletes that have different abilities or different level of how they progress with these things. You can challenge them differently, but still work the main concept the same way.
Right. And an example of that is, most coaches are familiar with doing pace sets or whatever. And so everyone doesn't have to swim it in 30 seconds. Usually most people have goals that are a little bit different based upon, how fast they are and what they're trying to accomplish. And so you just take that same basic idea and how can you make small, subtle adjustments in terms of how swimmers are performing the set. And that can make a big difference in terms of, the outcomes they receive or the outcomes they experience. So for sure. And then, so the next thing we covered was, and this is something that I think coaches do an awesome job with it from a training standpoint, but they kind of forget about it from a skill development standpoint, and that's planning. And that's whether that's planning over the course of a week, like how do I make sure that I cover everything I want to cover? But more importantly, how do I change what happens over the course of a season? And so if your season starts in September, a lot of people will have, championship meets in December, maybe again in March, and then maybe again in July. How do those different seasons change? Do they change? What are the goals of those? And so having a bigger picture thought process of how these things are implemented is really important. And so, tell me about how you felt that went.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me was, I alluded a little bit to it. It's not like I was not thinking about these things, right? But I wasn't writing them down. So consequently, they were not part of my plan. And that's maybe where then we didn't end up doing these things, right? Because it didn't say on my plan, get better underwater in this part of the season. And this was our one big skill goal to improve. So maybe in the beginning, when training was a bit slower and stuff, and we had some more time, we would do a little bit more, but then it kind of training took over, right? And it disappeared, and so it disappeared the skills.
That's
So
usually what happens. And that's a pretty common experience because, again, if it's not built into it, you just kind of stop doing it because the training part becomes the priority. And the goal is not to stop doing the training stuff, it's to do both at the same time.
I think that's exactly the biggest learning. I need to, like you we talked about it and you showed me, I really need to write this stuff down like I write other things down, write what my physical goal is. And maybe, sometimes I write some set goals that I have or whatever, but it needs to be there. I need to decide how much of it do I want to do. If I have another goal, how important is this other goal in relation to the other one? And maybe at some point in the season, right? That's what we saw. So they switch. That doesn't mean that then the kicking goes away. But maybe once we move to from the short course pool to the long course pool, the kicking still stays important. But if you have two turns more, maybe the kicking takes a bit more priority over an actual swimming skill, right? And I think all these things really helped me to kind of go back, look at how I planned season in the past, and now planning a new season, kind of really try to focus more on really putting things there, and at the same point also like we discussed, like not make it set in stone, like plan out a little bit, know what I want to do, but as with everything, there's going to be a little bit of trial and error, right? I need to see, okay, how are these things working? What do I maybe need to change? And how fast are we actually progressing? Because I could lay out, okay, we start in August, and in November, we're going to be super underwater kicker. And really, it could not go that way, right? Because it may take a little bit more time for us to get really good underwater kickers.
And I think that's the important thing is you don't have to necessarily know exactly when you're going to do some of these things, but you have to think through how are you going to challenge them in a general standpoint. And so at first you're just trying to focus on, can I actually help them figure out these skills? And then over time you have to add a little bit more speed. You have to have them do it for longer periods of time. And then you have to have them do it when they're tired too. And so just having that general thought process and again, like kind of writing it down and thinking about it makes such a huge difference as opposed to just like, I don't know, I'll just kind of see how it goes. Just think about if the way I always relate to it, it's like, just think about if you were to take that approach with your training plan, how much of a disaster that would be. You'd just be making stuff up and, there'd be no thought process in terms of how things are going to change over the course of a season.
Yeah, it was really, I think, it's like we went in to learn about this concept, right? But in the end, really, also with all the practical examples that we did with looking at stuff that I did and not questioning, but reviewing what I did and figuring out how I can implement those things and do things potentially better in the future. It was like a 360 in the end. It was really like, we talked about the skills, of course, and how to integrate them and teach them, right? But it was in the end, it really ended up being 360, a full like coaching coaching class again because we touched everything, and it's not in the 1 hour that we met every week. It was in preparing for it and like working on stuff after it and thinking about these things and going over the stuff. But it was really, we were touching all the things that then really made me go question the things and try to think about them and see how I can improve. So it was really like, I think it was some of the best like professional development that I have done maybe in the last couple of years,
Thank
because it really questioned everything in a good way, right? That I did in the past. It's like you said, it's not, it wasn't that black and white, right? It was okay, how can I do what I do better?
Right.
And that is very I think not a lot of like classes, coaching classes, something that you can do this. So yeah,
Right.
it was at some point it was really tough because I had so many things come into my head, and it was like I think I wrote you a couple times, emails where I'm like, oh, it's
Yeah.
exploding, right? It's a little bit much, and I don't know where to go. But it's also it's like the skills learning, like these things have to come together, and they will come slowly, and it will keep being like this
Right.
for a couple more time until I really, like you said, before it comes more easy, right? Where I will still have to put in the time, but I will know more what works and what works for me and how I do it, right? I'm not in that flow yet.
Right. And I think the point you made too was really important, that it's not just so much about not just particularly the experience we had, but more in general. It's like just identifying the skills and figuring out which activities are important matters, but that's just the starting point in terms of getting these things to actually show up in races, which is the real goal. And that's where, like, how do you write these into workouts? How do you develop the sets? How do you plan that over the course of the season? Like you said, it's not just learning a couple drills. It's about how do you build this into your entire program, just like you've built your training program up. And that's what I think the key difference is. It's integrating everything together, which is what really needs to happen if you want to create lasting change.
And one key thing that I'm also taking from this, and this may be a little bit more for me being over here in Europe now again, right, and coaching over here, where maybe some of the history and how training is being done is a little bit different. But I also think, not that I didn't believe this before, not at all, but I think it's in a different way where, I think you can, by doing this well, you can make training more fun
Yeah.
and at the same time make it more challenging,
Right.
which I think is hard to do at a lot of times, right? But it's what the athletes also drive off.
Right.
Because most athletes, they don't want the easy stuff. They
Right.
don't want to go slow. And this way you can, there's infinite ways how you can challenge it. For make it challenging for them and challenge them on many different speeds or skill levels and also still make it fun because it's not 10 200 and just swim, right? So I think this is something where, as you said, it's great because it doesn't just work with elite athletes. You can really, if you do this well, you can integrate it and apply it to everybody. Like the little kids can see, hey, what we do is not any different than the big kids though. And it could be a big difference, but they don't notice the difference because they don't see the intrinsic of it, right? And I think that is really something where I see like the biggest value also in it, right? If you're working in a club, you can really take this and make it part of your culture of what you do.
Right. Yeah, there are two things that stuck with me there. It was swimmers want to be challenged and they want to be engaged. And so when you give them things that challenge them, but also allow them to be successful and where they can feel like they've made progress, that's going to be the thing that keeps them coming back. And especially when athlete retention is such a big problem, that's one of the best ways to help them stay engaged is to give them rewarding experiences where they're challenged, but they experience success. And then, you know, from a club standpoint, it's like if you can do that from age eight all the way up to age 18, you're going to have, you know, better engagement throughout. Kids are going to keep swimming, and then they're going to be able to swim at a higher level. And that's really what it's all about. And so, you know, maybe if we were to do, you know, if the calls were even further, like once you figure out how to plan a season, it's all right, well, how do you plan this throughout your whole club? Because it's the same principles. It's just at a bigger time scale. But again, it's the same ideas, and that's how you can keep swimmers more engaged more consistently. You know, and that has a big, you know, financial impact on clubs because, you know, paying swimmers that quit no longer pay dues. But also they swimmers that quit don't get to swim fast. And so it's a huge part of the viability of a club in the long term.
Yeah, well, that's really great, and I'm sorry we have a little bit of a hard stop today, right? But it's kind of good we're getting to the point where this is something that you can help coaches and clubs with, right? So maybe tell us to kind of close. How can they find out more about it, and how can they get in touch with you? And of course, then we will also link to everything. But what's the best way to learn a little bit more and then reach out to you and potentially engage you and get to work with you.
Sure. Well, my name is, or not my name, my email or my website is www.coachandrewsheaf.com. And so you can check that out. There's a link that just, you know, to work with me, and you basically can just contact me and we can figure out if it's a good fit. There's also, you know, if you're interested in these ideas and just in general, there's a free course that you can take, which is a, you know, about I think seven videos that are about, you know, 5 to 10 minutes each, at www.buildbettersets.com. And that can be a great introduction. And if you like that, you know, the next step can be, you know, a conversation with me. And then on the website, you can find the book as well, if you wanted to purchase that. And so those are kind of three different options, that you can take a look at and see what interests you and then kind of go from there.
Well, that's awesome. I want to thank you for these great 6 weeks and all the hard work that you put in helping me figure this out. And I really hope a lot of coaches will take advantage of this offering and of your experience and get in touch with you and learn more about this. And thanks for your time doing this. This was really great.
My pleasure, Nico.
I hope you will see better skilled swimmers from my end in the future.
Yeah, I'm sure of it.
All right. Thank you, Andrew.